All right, take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're continuing our series of lessons from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20 is where we are this morning. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 16. Matthew 20, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful of me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us another opportunity to open the pages of your word. And I pray that this morning you'd speak to our hearts in that way that only you can. Help us to understand the scriptures this morning and help us to apply what we learn to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me begin by reminding you that a parable is an earthly story designed to teach a spiritual lesson. It's a story whose purpose is to help us understand a spiritual principle that would otherwise be difficult for us to grasp. It is not an actual account of something that took place. It is a made-up story, an allegory, or a fable that is used as a teaching tool. Now, I have to admit that for years, I struggled to understand what this parable could possibly be teaching me. And I also have to admit that I sided with the guys in verse 10. It says, "But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny." I felt like, hey, they did more work, so they certainly deserve more pay. And yet Jesus says otherwise. He said differently. He says the opposite. And for years, I just didn't get it. I'd read this passage of scripture and my blood pressure would go up, right? Because I thought these guys who had worked all day long were being gypped. And God basically had to say to me, "Look, buddy, don't get all worked up over this. Remember, it's just a story. It's not real life." It's like when my kids are watching TV. I got a couple of kids that if they're watching a movie, boy, it's almost like they're in the movie. I mean, they will talk to the TV and they will holler. They see something mean happen or something sad, they'll cry, or something dangerous or something scary. They act like they're part of the movie. They get all worked up, and I have to remind them, hey, it's just a TV show. It's not real life. Well, that's the way it is with this parable. And this parable is not about who got what. And it's not about what's fair or unfair. That is not the lesson. Now, in my former studies of this parable, I also was confused because I failed to recognize what I have always told you is the most important principle in Bible interpretation, and that is the context. You've got to get the verses in their context. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand the Bible. You know, you pull verses out of their context, and you can get the Bible to teach anything. You've got to get the verses in their context. You see, this parable is not a standalone story. How many here have a red letter Bible where Jesus' words are in red? All right. What color is the last verse of chapter 19?
Red.
It's red. What color is the first verse of chapter 20?
Red.
You see, this is a continuation of Jesus' teaching from chapter 19. There's a chapter division here, but he's still teaching the same lesson. Now, it is possible to read and to reread this parable and come up with a different angle on it every time, depending on the word or the phrase that you might emphasize. And that is not to say that this parable can just mean anything. But it does mean that the complexity of the parable can strike us in different ways. But to get the real meaning and to answer the question, what could this parable possibly be teaching, you've got to think about the context. What was Jesus teaching in Matthew 19? If you remember from last week, he was teaching about covetousness. Remember, the rich man allowed his covetousness to stand in the way of his salvation. And he refused to repent of the sin of covetousness. And as a result, turned away from Christ. That is the context in which Jesus is teaching this parable. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard is about number 10 of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. In a very real sense, this parable is about coveting. And while the use of the word covet may not seem like the obvious word to use in dealing with what goes on here, it is exactly what this parable is about. Coveting lies at the heart of this parable. So, it's about coveting, but specifically about coveting what God chooses to give to others. Now, remember, in Jesus' parables, we are invited to see ourselves in the story. And then we are to apply to ourselves the lessons we learn. In this parable, the vineyard owner is the Lord himself. And we are the laborers. We as believers in Christ, we are the laborers. In 1 Corinthians 10:9, we read, we are laborers together with God. And in our relationship with one another as Christians, covetousness can be a problem. And the problem here isn't that other people are getting blessings from God that we don't get, or that they are getting more or better gifts than we get. It's that we don't feel that they deserve what they got. Oh, we've been serving the Lord much longer than they have. Or we have been more faithful over the years than they have. Or we've been more active in ministry than they have. Or they've been saved a long time, but they're only just now getting involved. But we've been serving all our lives. And so they are not worthy of the blessings they're not worthy of being blessed more than me. They don't deserve the same things as me because I am a better Christian than they are. See, you have to remember that he is still answering Peter's question from chapter 19 and verse 27. Then answered Peter and said to him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And the answer is, yes, Peter, you're going to get your reward for your faithful service. But when you get to chapter 20, he's saying, yes, you're going to get your reward, but don't look down your nose at others who are not at the same spiritual level as you. Because first of all, you yourself don't deserve the blessings of God. Nobody does. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been serving, you are still nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And so, just be content with the fact that God is blessing you at all, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. Just, so, you know, get off your high horse and just be content that God is blessing you at all. That's the first thing that stands out here. And then secondly, remember this. Remember that everybody who is a Christian is at a different level of spiritual growth, right? The Christian life is a process. Being saved and trusting in Christ is just the first step. You are born again into the family of God as an infant spiritually. And then you are expected to grow. But everybody grows at a different rate. And that a lot of things factor into that. One of them would be how long a person's been saved. Hopefully the longer you're saved, the more mature you become. But it also depends on what they've been taught from the Word of God. There's just a lot of factors. And these newborn believers in Christ and those who are growing but have not yet fully matured in their faith, they are just as much a child of God as you are. And they deserve the blessings of God as much as you. And to think that you do and they don't is just a matter of your old, wicked, fleshly sin nature rearing its ugly head through the sin of pride, something which God has absolutely nothing good to say about. And so that's the second lesson you have to remember. Everybody is at a different level of spiritual growth, but every Christian is part of the family of God, and every Christian is just as deserving of God's blessing as you are, no matter what their level of spiritual growth. Now, here's lesson number three. We must remember, and this is vitally important, we must remember that we're all in this together. Notice that every person in this parable was a laborer in the vineyard. Instead of fussing over who God is giving what, let's rejoice that Christians are being led into more faithful service for God. Every time another Christian makes a commitment to serve the Lord, we should rejoice. Because that means that more there's more laborers. And the more laborers there are, the more effective we can be at reaching the world with the gospel. As a matter of fact, more laborers are what we're supposed to be praying for. Remember, Jesus taught us about this back in chapter 9. Let's jump back there for a second and refresh our memories. Chapter 9. Keep a finger here in Matthew 20. We're coming back. But look in Matthew 9. And look at verses 37 and 38, last verses of the chapter. Then saith he unto his disciples, that woke everybody up. Everybody awake now? All right, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Remember this. When God leads people into getting more involved in serving the Lord, and he begins to bless them for it, don't whine about that. That's silly. Be glad, because it means God is answering our prayers concerning more laborers for the field. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have happen. God, when you see a Christian rededicate themselves to serving the Lord and getting more active, that's an answer to our prayers. And it's such a good thing, because there are so many people out there that need the Lord, that we can use all the help we can get when it comes to trying to reach them with the gospel. And as I said, the more people who join the labor force for the Lord, the more effective we can be in reaching the world. That's more people will be able to hear the good news of Christ. We ought to be encouraging each other, I guess, is what we're getting at, encouraging each other to get more involved in serving the Lord. And when someone says, okay, I will get involved, I'll be more faithful, no matter what level of spiritual growth they're in, let's rejoice. Because that means that more people will now be able to hear the sin-cleansing, life-changing, hope-giving, devil-defeating gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that gospel? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verses 17 through 19 back in Matthew 20. We're going to finish up this morning. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. And there it is. The gospel is the fact that Christ died for our sins on the cross, and then rose again 3 days later so that we could have eternal life. And what you do with that message determines where you spend eternity, heaven or hell. You can reject it or you can receive it. You can turn away from Christ like the rich man in chapter 19, or you can open up your heart and invite Christ in as your Savior and Lord and receive forgiveness and eternal life. And I'll tell you this, the Lord is anxiously awaiting your decision. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He's knocking at the door of your heart, but he's not going to force that door open. He's a gentleman. He's not going to batter the door down. You have to open it and invite him in by calling out to him in prayer and admitting to him that, yes, you are a sinner and you know you deserve the penalty for sin. But then you let him know that you believe he died to pay the penalty for your sin, and that he rose so you could have eternal life. And you call out to him, you invite him to come into your heart to be your Savior. You put all your hope, all your trust in him and him alone for forgiveness and a home in heaven. If you've never done that, just to be honest with you, that's your greatest need. Just to be honest, it's your greatest need. And so this morning we challenge you to take this step of faith and receive Christ as your Savior. And then let me close with this. Let me say to you that are Christians, though you know you've received Christ, you have a personal relationship with him, would you do this? Be a laborer in the vineyard. Because you know what? All around you, everywhere you go, there are people who are hurting and hopeless and helpless and heading for hell. And they are in desperate need of Jesus. I wonder this morning, would you make a commitment today to go forth and tell them about him? Will you be a laborer in the Lord's vineyard? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the challenge to our hearts. Lord, help us to rejoice every single time a soul is saved, as Kirsty sang about this morning. But help us also rejoice every time a Christian says, "Yes, Lord, I'll serve you." And help us to encourage each other to do just that. Help us to stand with each other and pray for one another and help one another. Lord, help us to be that kind of a church where we encourage each other to serve you. And then, Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here today that does not know Christ, or maybe somebody watching by way of the internet that does not know Christ, we pray that today they'd see Jesus to be their greatest need, and that right now, right where they're sitting, they'll open up that heart of theirs and invite Christ in to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life. Lord, help them to see that they need your Son, the Lord Jesus, more than they need anything that this world has to offer. Now, Lord, as we leave church today and go our separate ways, help us to remember as Christians that we're entering the mission field. We're entering the vineyard. Help us to be good laborers for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.